Coming up on the Inside Indiana Business Television podcast, a move by Corteva could be a game changer for Indiana. A homegrown app is helping people transition to freelance work. We visit an endangered landmark in Henry County. We share food and drink trends in Indiana for 2022. A Hoosier entrepreneur is making changing diapers more sanitary. What does a Super Bowl appearance mean to our neighbors in Cincinnati? And a new craft distillery is coming to the Indiana Fairgrounds. Welcome to the Inside Indiana Business Television podcast. I'm Andy Ober. Corteva Agriscience is moving its global headquarters from the East Coast to the crossroads of America. It will likely have a major impact on Indianapolis and the entire state. Agrinovus Indiana President and CEO Mitch Frazier joined Inside Indiana Business host Gary Dick with more.
Great to see you, Gary, on a historic week for Indiana.
You know, I think it is. I don't think that's an overstatement. When you look at Corteva making Indianapolis its corporate headquarters, it won't necessarily probably mean much in terms of headcount or new jobs, but there is real significance to the fact that the corporate headquarters will be here.
Undoubtedly, this move by Corteva, I love how Chuck Magro, the CEO of Corteva, framed this, gets us closer to customers, gets us closer to our technology, to our operations. It is a massive validation for what so many have built here in Indiana, and a massive validation of the incredible work that the Corteva team here in Indiana, thousands across the state, are doing each and every day that's allowed us here in Indiana to compete and win for this publicly held global headquarters new to Indiana.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Corteva is really an outgrowth of what was Dow AgriSciences and the Dow DuPont in spinning off a new ag giant, if you will, created Corteva. Corteva already has a significant presence here. About 2,000 of 21,000 employees are here in Indianapolis. A $15 billion crop protection business is here. But this really solidifies Indianapolis as a key part of the Corteva business model. And when you think, too, about Elanco making its merge global operations here in Indianapolis, too, that's an amazing 1-2 punch.
It absolutely is, Gary. In the matter of 15 months, Indiana has attracted or solidified its position as the headquarters for two globally headquartered, global public companies, their ag bioscience operations. And it's not just the companies. I mean, we're grateful for the investments, so much to come from both of these companies, but the ecosystem that can be created around both of these holds tremendous opportunity for our state.
Yeah, and you mentioned the ecosystem and what happens when these types of corporate headquarters are located in a community. Announcement, I think it was this week, with a partnership with High Alpha, right? Was that Elanco and High Alpha?
That's exactly right. Elanco made a number of sustainability announcements this week and launched a new company with High Alpha Innovation, an Indianapolis-based venture capital firm, as well as a startup studio focused on greenhouse gases, capturing carbon credits from sustainability efforts in the cattle market. And Gary, this is why it is so critical that we bring together this world of tech and agriculture in Indiana. These worlds are merging, and to have strength, to have now two publicly traded headquartered companies here in Ag Biosciences, but also the tremendous strength we have in software as a service with our friends at High Alpha and so many across the state, Indiana is well positioned to lead this next chapter of growth in what today is a $52 billion economy here in Indiana.
Yeah, and talk about, Mitch, we all talk about week in and week out the need to keep talent here, but also attract new talent into the state of Indiana. To have Corteva with its corporate headquarters here, the kind of statement that makes when companies, other companies, big and small, are going out trying to attract people to come to Indiana.
Headquarters are a magnet for innovation, not just from the companies themselves, but from the companies who want to be near those companies, whether that be through partnerships, whether that be through licensing agreements. We've already begun to see, we saw it this week with Elanco. We've seen it historically just in the last couple of months with Elanco as well, with their spinoff of their microbiome business. These publicly traded headquartered companies, really, really important as a cornerstone or a building block or a foundation for this next generation of the economy. And I tell you, Gary, when we look at specifically these two companies, We are building an incredible platform for sustainability innovation in Indiana. Both Elanco and Corteva really committed to the sustainability.
Yeah, final question for you, Mitch. $52 billion plus ag bioscience sector in Indiana. How would you assess, I think I know what you're going to say here, especially with these recent announcements, but how would you assess the state of the ag bioscience sector here in Indiana?
Our ag bioscience economy here in Indiana, thanks to the great work of Governor Eric Holcomb, Indiana Secretary of Commerce Brad Chambers, and so many leaders across the state, we are in a position to build on this momentum. We have clearly two publicly traded headquarters companies that we've talked about, but we have tremendous, tremendous acceleration in company growth here. You know, we've set a bold vision that Gary, you and I have talked about before of adding $4 billion to this ag bioscience economy by the end of 2024. And I think we're going to be able to do that.
All right. Mitch Fraser, the CEO of Agrinovis Indiana. Big news on Corteva making Indianapolis its corporate headquarters. Mitch, as always, thank you. And we'll see you soon.
Look forward to it, Gary. Thank you.
All right.
The economy continues to evolve, and a growing number of workers are exiting the corporate world and entering the freelance space. A Hoosier Made app is helping to make the transition easier. WeDo founder and CEO Indiana Gregg came on the show with details.
So you're a native of Terre Haute, grew up in Terre Haute, and you are an entrepreneur by heart, I think. And this new app, the WeDo app, really gets to the fact that it's estimated one in four Americans plan on quitting their jobs in 2022, many going into the freelance world. And this app is all about making that transition easier.
Absolutely. What we're doing is providing tools for people to empower them to do their side hustle or create, you know, a new business for themselves. And, you know, most people have been working from home, and that great resignation is really happening. And we know that by 2027, it could be over half the global workforce working in freelance.
Yeah, as we were talking, as we were talking before the interview, the freelancers kind of sometimes don't get the attention perhaps they need to. And they, again, this app really, really gets to that fact. Talk about how what the app is all about, how it works, and how it really benefits those looking for that freelance career.
Well, there's a barrier to entry for a lot of freelance. So the risk is that you spend a lot of money to get your business started. And what we do is relieve the front end payment point. So we don't charge a SaaS, and we provide tools that allow people to manage their calendar. They can create communities or one-to-one face-to-face meetings and take payments in real time, take payments in any currency, including crypto, as well as fiat, dollar, pound, euro, et cetera. And what that does is it globalizes your ability and your reach as a freelancer. And then it's very interesting for SMEs who are hiring very specific skill sets to be able to do that seamlessly in one application very easily. So you're invoicing, you're contracting, your payroll, if you hire people in a small business or an enterprise situation on the other side of the market. That's what we do. It's really simple. It empowers you to take payments without any hassle.
Yeah, and the timing is everything in the world of entrepreneurship, if you will. And certainly the pandemic is a challenge for everyone. But for your business model, I'm sure it's been a really positive boost.
Yeah, it's been helpful. It's sped up the process to some extent. But the J curve in the market, you know, we know that freelancing was and is and always has been a thing, but not quite as big as this movement that we're seeing right now. And I think the pandemic has given us some wind behind the sails for sure. But I think that's continuing. People realize that you spend so much of your life in work. You should be doing something and using your skills for yourself and not always for the man. So
yeah,
it's about empowering more people. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've raised some money, closed on a $2.3 million round, have raised more than $3 million in total. And for female founders, who it's well documented the challenges female founders have in raising money, that's a positive development.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I'm one of the 2% that have raised funds through VCs in the past year, and that number needs to change. And, you know, women are out there creating wonderful technologies, and I feel like the world's missing out on, you know, perhaps catastrophic breakthroughs, you know, that they won't see if they don't invest in women. So I'm pleased to kind of hit the glass ceiling and broke through a little bit there.
All right. Indy Gregg, the founder and CEO of WeDo, an app that really targeted to freelancers. She's a Terre Haute native, a Hoosier native. And Indy, really been a pleasure to talk with you, and good luck with the app going forward.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you.
An architectural gem and a big piece of Henry County history is in danger of disappearing. What's next for the Newcastle Courthouse Annex? Reporter Mary Rachel Redman has more as she continues her Endangered Indiana series.
In most cases, Newcastle is known for one thing.
Go get him, Tiger.
Hoosier Hoops. From the world's largest high school gym...
Take a look
to
at
hometown
Mr.
hero,
Indiana.
I'm Steve Alford.
And of course, home to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. What many don't realize, though, at the turn of the century, the city of Newcastle was a vibrant, economically thriving community thanks to the gas boom, and also a center of manufacturing prowess, producing everything from cars to caskets.
This building was built during a time when Newcastle was experiencing a real boom. We had the largest automobile factory in the world. Back in the 1900s, Newcastle was one of the fastest growing cities in the state of Indiana.
But once the gas wells dried up and major industry made its exit, the city found itself on a downward spiral, the effects of which are still evident even today.
We've lost an entire block of downtown buildings to demolition, so it's important to maintain what we have left.
Historic preservation is economic development, and so having a building come back to life would mean a lot for our downtown.
And with a great view.
Now for a quick tour.
Now this is the third floor. And
correct.
Wow, that looks like a lot of boxes.
A lot of boxes.
Of records.
County records from going back 20 and 30 years at least.
When did this become vacant? Kind of over time?
Over time, probably last 5 years, it has not been used, and it's been sitting empty, and basically it's a big storage area for county government.
This third floor is absolutely ginormous. In fact, as you can see, there's more records in what I think used to be an apartment. And as you walk through, you can see, and granted, it is dirty, but this beautiful antique tile that would have been here when it was first built. There are so many little interesting, unique features in this building that are kind of a wink and a nod to that time. In fact, let's see what this is. Oh. Huh.
This building has a lot of potential, but as you can see, time's running out.
I think we're at a point where we're wanting to have a decision made within the next few months. They've been sitting empty long enough now that we're wanting to pull the trigger on it as quick as we can to try to get somebody interested that wants it. We've talked about possibly even putting them up for auction.
That building coming back to life means that Newcastle is coming back to life. I often think that the way your downtown looks indicates the health of your community. So if you have a bunch of vacant, empty buildings that are boarded up, perhaps the health of your community is low. Having a building alive again, I think, would be reflective of where our community is, because I feel that Newcastle and Henry County is alive again, alive and well.
Mary Rachel Redman, Inside Indiana Business.
How would you like to tempt your taste buds with espresso martinis, malasada, and macadamia pancakes? That's just a sampling of this year's food and drink trends in Indiana. Yelp Director of Community Campaigns Brittany Smith has more in our Trendiana segment.
Always like to kind of check out the trends and what we can expect in the year ahead. And as I mentioned, these trendy items, there's some science to it.
Oh, truly. We actually have a whole dedicated data science team that digs in each year. They even look at summer food and drink trends. And these ones in particular are all the items that are rising in searches for 2022 and the year ahead. And then we've got some fun places in Indiana that you can actually buy them and try them for yourself.
All right, let's get right to it. Trend number one, macadamia pancakes.
Yes, bringing the flavors of Hawaii right here to Indiana was also one of the trending travel destinations last year. So folks are wanting to see it on their tables, and macadamia pancakes are up 613% in searches. And you can find them at recently opened Manelli Cafe in Carmel, which is an all Hawaiian themed menu, really beautiful dishes with a lot of fresh fruit. Their actual macadamia pancakes there are topped with the nuts, whipped creamed, and the lilikei syrup. So it's truly got a taste to Hawaii, right in the Carmel area.
Okay, up next is the Portuguese dessert, malasada.
Yes, you got it right. It's Portuguese deep fried dessert. It's a heartier option. It's also popular in Hawaii. We're seeing a lot of Hawaiian food trends right now. And we expect this one to keep shaking up the dessert scene. The searches are up 130% for malasadas, and you can find them at Bica Cafe in Noblesville, which is a charming Portuguese eatery right off the historic square in Noblesville.
Okay, another trend is kind of a flashback to the 90s, espresso martinis.
That's right. Espresso martinis are back. The searches for those are up 114%. And folks are loving that it's kind of being reinvented and a fresh set of eyes on it. And you can find it throughout the state, but the Yelp reviews are especially loving it at 811 Bistro in West Lafayette, which is in the new Hotel Union Club. They're using a coffee liqueur, espresso, and Wheatley vodka. Folks really love that version.
Okay, one final trend we're going to talk about this week is Negroni.
Yeah, Negronis. In the last year, Aperol Spritz was the big popular drink. And this year, folks are loving Negronis, which is an Italian cocktail. And Cardinal Spirits in Bloomington is known for making one of the best versions in the state. They have an Amaro Negroni. They even share their recipe on their website. It's got sweet vermouth, a house-made triple berry elixir. It's truly delicious. And then if you haven't made B-Day plans yet, they've actually got really fun grab-and-go cocktails there. Another fun spot for Negronis is Nesso in downtown Indy. They have a beautiful vermouth menu, too.
Okay, Brittany, that is a great look around the state, as always, at trends in the year ahead. Thanks very much, as always.
Thanks so much, Gary, and I'm raising my Cardinal Spirits Negroni to you.
And I've got one here, too. Cheers to a great 2022.
Remember, you can catch Inside Indiana Business Television on stations throughout the state every weekend. Head to InsideIndianaBusiness.com to check listings. Most parents have changed baby diapers in public restrooms. A Hoosier mom and entrepreneur is looking to make that more sanitary. Pluie co-founder Brittany Heiser joined Kylie Valletta in the business of health.
So she started pursuing the idea, even filed a patent in 2019. A mutual mom friend introduced us, and as a new mom myself, I loved the product. I spent most of my career in the corporate world designing fitness equipment and then fishing boats, and always had that desire to start my own business, but never had that home run idea. So when we met, I thought this is a great opportunity to bring this product that's innovative and definitely needed to market.
Okay, well, let's talk about what makes it so innovative. It's this new high-tech method to make it self-sanitizing. Explain how it accomplishes that.
Yeah, so we use two UVC light bulbs. And for those of you that don't know much about UVC light, UVC light essentially deactivates viruses and bacteria, so the DNA in those, and thus really eliminates the ability to cause disease. So these two UVC light bulbs sanitize the changing surface. You change your child, you close the table, the light system is triggered on and then sanitizes within a 60-second cycle. We do have a patent that was granted in 2021, so we're really proud of this technology that we're bringing to market.
All right, tell us about some of the other features. I like how you said that you and your co-founder really tried to think of every pain point for parents.
We did, especially as moms. We thought of every pain point. So diaper changing tables were invented in the 80s, and we first took the approach of giving the traditional diaper changing table a facelift by introducing a really nice modern design aesthetic. And then we introduced first to market features such as the plush foam cushion. So instead of placing your baby on a hard plastic surface, you change your child on a nice foam cushion that's leak proof. We also have a retractable security strap. So you often see those straps, they're damaged, they're sometimes missing. So we designed it to be retractable, very similar to a seatbelt. And then our handles that you use to open and close the table, we made those multi-purpose. So you can place your purse, your diaper bag on the handles versus, you know, placing your bag on what can be a very dirty bathroom floor.
I told you before, the handle is game changing for me. There was nowhere to hang your purse, nowhere to put the diaper bag. All right, you're focused on scaling the business right now. You have two big things coming up, a production run, a funding round. Tell us about those two big things on the horizon for you.
Yeah, so we really focused 2021 on, you know, introducing Plui into the market, placing tables at, you know, restrooms nationwide, learning from those initial installations. We made some design improvements last year that we're now placing into production. We had the opportunity to partner with a $7 billion global contract manufacturer called Sanmina, and they've allocated space to start assembling Plui here in the Midwest in Wisconsin. And that really gives us the confidence and our customers that we can scale this business. I mean, this is a hard, you know, a hardware business, very capital intensive. We did really raise capital over the last 2 years to help also scale the business. We're actually kicking off our seed round of funding here in the next couple of weeks, looking to then really, you know, fund our business, hire new team members, and go to restrooms nationwide.
All right, and tell us about your presence in Indiana right now, where the tables are, and I know you can't give us the full details, but that there are more coming.
Yeah, so, you know, being from Indiana, Cathedral High School, DePauw graduate, it was just, it's been such an honor to have Plui in a couple Indiana locations to date, namely Conner Prairie is our first museum in the nation, Health Link in Mishawaka, Indiana, and then Cathedral High School actually installed Plui in the new Innovation Center. So we are growing quickly. We have a lot of upcoming notable Indiana locations that will soon have Plui within the next few months. And really what we're seeing is specifically in Indiana, there's really an opportunity at family-friendly destinations and those Indiana businesses who really value the guest experience.
I know a couple more coming are high-profile locations, so Hoosiers will definitely be seeing Plui. About 30 seconds left or so, Plui is more expensive than your average changing table, the standard changing table. How do you convince businesses, companies to make the switch to upgrade?
Yeah, we really sell on the benefits in terms of sustainability, so the ability to reduce those harsh chemicals that are needed to sanitize changing tables, as well as reduce the time to clean them. We're also, you know, selling on opportunities for media exposure, like Conner Prairie, where we installed in the White Sox. And then really, it's an improved perception of the brand, you know, specifically with families. And then plus, we're a female-owned and operated business. So that's really, really a great thing, especially with key national accounts.
Just a couple seconds left. Did COVID cause an uptick now that we're so much more germ aware?
Yes, COVID definitely caused an uptick. And everyone knows the benefits of UVC light right now. And customers are investing in shopping cart technology, escalator technology. So we're really seeing, you know, that everyone recognizes the benefits. And essentially, Plui is selling itself at the moment.
All right, Brittany, thanks for being on the show and good luck with all the growth.
Thank you so much.
Greater Lafayette Commerce in Tippecanoe County has created a workforce development program designed to help students overcome setbacks caused by the pandemic. Director of Workforce Development Kara Webb and SkyPack CEO Eric Davis gave details on the program in our Eye in Education segment.
A big grant, nearly $5 million from the Lilly Endowment to fund this initiative. Kara, I'll start with you because this is really an outgrowth. Advanced manufacturing in Indiana in general, Lafayette, that Lafayette area, very important. This was an outgrowth of the annual manufacturing week that you have there in the Lafayette, West Lafayette area. Talk about how the idea came about.
Yeah, that's right. We have our annual event, Manufacturing Week. We started in 2014 with 300 students. And just recently in 2019, we were over 3,000. And COVID hit and we had an opportunity to still be able to reach the students by doing some things virtually. So we did that 1 year, and then the following year, SkyPack helped us to take that program that we had and keep our momentum going with the education and awareness manufacturing with our students in K through 12, and we created the online platform. So as we were talking with Ivy Tech and learning about their stackable credentials and their new career in coaching program, we both had an idea, Eric and I, that how do we stack into their stack? How do we help kids to identify the pathway for their future? How do we make sure that they have the choices that they need to have, and not just college or career, but college and career?
Yeah, and again, importantly, this focuses on students who've been adversely affected by the pandemic. In a nutshell, kind of a 50,000-foot view, how will this program work?
Yeah, so basically, we have different areas of pieces that we will be delivering to students in the 7th through 12th grades. We have 8 schools that will be participating, some here in Tippecanoe County and one in Warren and one in Carroll County. And the students will be able to access micro-credentials and learning about employability skills. And Eric can touch on this a little bit deeper, but our goal really is to continue to help them to understand their opportunities and choices in careers. So career advisement is a key part of this. Ivy Tech will be delivering that key part of career advisement. Yep. And then the students will be taking classes.
Yep. Eric, give us an idea of SkyPAC's involvement. You're in the Purdue Research Park. You provide platforms, digital connections for students and teachers and schools all over the country. And so you're going to be really at the heart of this this whole initiative.
Yeah, we like to just sort of be the enabling sort of services and technology provider here. We're just excited to be part of this collaboration, really to help educators, students, employers connect in better ways to really help lift a lot of students, you know, out of their current situation and into a pathway that's going to get them into, you know, a career, but not just a career that also includes a lifelong education and learning.
Yeah. And I know the business community is a big part of this. And I've always been impressed by the engagement of the business community in the Lafayette and West Lafayette area, that region up there. And I think you're going to be counting on businesses to play a role in this as well.
Yeah, certainly. The Greater Lafayette Commerce team has done a great job of putting together, I think a few years ago, Workforce 2030 Council, which includes educators and the employers. And really, it's that group, that think tank group that helped sort of derive this this great idea. And we're just happy to be part of it.
Yeah. And Kara, as we wrap up, you really believe this can be a model. This is something you've come up with, but you think this can be perhaps a statewide and beyond a model for others to emulate.
I certainly do. This is a model that can be used throughout Indiana and replicatable in other industries across the nation.
Innovation and workforce development in the Greater Lafayette area. Kara Webb is the Director of Workforce Development at Greater Lafayette Commerce. Eric Davis, the CEO at SkyPAC, thank you both very much. We look forward to having you on maybe down the road a bit to see how things are going.
That would be great.
Thank you, Gary.
The Cincinnati Bengals are coming off their first Super Bowl appearance in more than 3 decades. It's a big deal for our neighbors to the east and the entire tri-state region. Bengals postgame talk show host Chick Ludwig joined Bill Benner ahead of the big game on Inside Indiana Sports.
We recall the time that when the Colts broke through and made the Super Bowl, how it energized Indianapolis. Just talk about what these last 2 weeks have been like in Cincinnati and the tri-state area.
Bill, as you well know, with the Colts' run to the Super Bowl, nothing galvanizes a city, a community, the tri-state region, like a trip to the Super Bowl. You know, I lived through the great 1970s, the great Reds teams that won back-to-back world championships, 7 Bengals trips to the postseason, no victories. This is just unbelievable. People have been waiting a lifetime for this, and it's just amazing. And you talk about, gosh, economic impact. He's right. It's a tsunami. 127,000 mentions of the Cincinnati Bengals in the media in January alone. And that reaches a potential audience of 22 billion. And that publicity alone is worth $344 million. And just the bars and restaurants are packed. It's Black Friday every day for a month. You can't keep souvenirs on the shelf. And that's another $30 to $40 million in economic impact. Spectacular for the greater Cincinnati area.
Well, and it's also meaningful for the ownership. Mike Brown, he's suffered a lot of slings and arrows over the years, and you know, I would say deservedly so in some cases. But for this team, and especially this turnaround in a two-year period and the addition of Joe Burrow, it's quite dramatic and just amazing.
One of the things it proves, Bill, is, you know, with the draft and with free agency, an NFL team can get it turned around in a hurry. But there's no doubt Joe Burrow is the man. And you think he's popular now? If the Bengals win this Super Bowl and he becomes the first quarterback in NFL in history to win the Heisman Trophy, the national championship, and a Super Bowl, his stardom will skyrocket absolutely off the charts. I fully expect him to be on the cover of People magazine, the world's sexiest man.
Check.
I
was reading a story in the Wall Street Journal. They actually think that there might be more Bengals fans than Rams fans at SoFi Stadium.
You know, it's incredible. And to me, the Rams fans, yes, they lost the Rams to St. Louis. Now they're back in L.A. They have not suffered enough like Cincinnati fans. And, you know, we mentioned the ownership. You know, this is a redemption for, you know, this franchise that's been much maligned. And even I've said it the last couple of years. Nobody outpizzas the Hut and nobody outbungles the Bengals. That was the last 2 years. This is different. And it really is vindication for owner Mike Brown, because his patience here with Zach Taylor is phenomenal. Now, he, you know, 16 years with Marvin Lewis, 7 playoff trips, no victories. Any other coach in any other city would have been jettisoned in 1 or 2 years with a 6-25-1 record. But his patience with Zach Taylor has paid off. And when you get a draft with Joe Burrow and you had a Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, just and the free agents that they've added on both sides of the ball, man, it's a perfect storm for this club.
All right, Chick, we got 15 seconds. We need to get your prediction. This is solid gold. Chick Ludwig, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
The Bengals are going to win 31-28. The key matchup is the Bengals offensive line against the defensive line of the Rams. Look for the Bengals to employ 6- and 7-man protections to slow down that pass rush. Joe Burrow gets it done. Bengals 31-28. Hooday.
Chick, I couldn't be happier that you're on the program, and thanks for being on the show. Good luck.
Bill, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And finally this week, we're raising a glass to sipping cocktails year-round at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. Leslie Weidenbender with our partners at the IBJ joined us with details on plans for a new craft distillery company coming to the fairgrounds.
You know, Circle Center was such a dynamic place, a real catalyst for downtown development when it opened. And for several years later, it has become quite the opposite, unfortunately, in recent years, a bit of an eyesore and a challenge. But I know you've got a story this week that says the future of Circle Center perhaps will begin to come a bit more in focus before long.
Yeah, we learned this past week that Simon Property, who was one of about 20 original owners of the mall, 20 companies put in money to help build it in partnership with the city. Simon actually sold its shares, about 15%, to the remaining owners. And then the owners announced that they're working with 5 groups of architects, asking them to submit proposals on what could be next for the mall. And I'm expecting that they will see some big redevelopment ideas from those groups.
Yeah, and there, as you know, is going to be a lot of interest in what comes out of that, because everyone wants to know what is next for that that high-profile property. Big name company in Indiana, Eli Lilly and Company, putting the brakes perhaps on an Alzheimer's drug, and because of Medicare?
Yeah, this is actually a really complicated situation. Lilly has had some promising results in trials of its new experimental Alzheimer's drug, but there are some other drugs that have had mixed results. And so Medicare has actually decided it's not probably going to pay for this class of drugs. Lilly had been planning to ask the FDA for expedited approval, but now they've put that on hold as they try to work out the problems with Medicare. So there is a lot of thought that as more studies become available, Medicare might change its mind.
Yeah, very good. Final story, and this is one that I know a lot of people will be interested in, too. A new craft spirits distillery, a full-time distillery going into the Indiana State Fairgrounds.
Yeah, this is a kind of a funny one, isn't it? Because it wasn't that long ago, maybe 7 years ago, when you couldn't get alcohol at the state fairgrounds at all. And it was a big deal when the legislature decided to allow it. Now you've got three folks who are starting up a new distillery, high and mighty, and they're actually going to be located in the South Pavilion, which is in the southwestern corner right down there by the Monon.
Yeah, very interesting. As you said, you know, at one time you couldn't get alcohol there at all. Now going kind of coming full circle. And this is, I guess, the first full-time retailer anywhere on the fairgrounds in like 20 years.
Like 20 years. You know, Hook's Drugs was open there actually year round and then went to the fair only. So this will be the first time since then. There are some offices and some other organizations that have full-time offices there, but not in terms of retail, in terms of bringing folks in. So this is going to be a great experiment.
Good stuff. A lot of great stories, as always, this weekend in the IBJ. That publication will be coming out very soon. Leslie Weidenbinder, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Gary.
Okay.
That wraps up this week's Inside Indiana Business Television podcast. Remember, you can find all of this week's TV segments, as well as the top business news from throughout the state, at InsideIndianaBusiness.com. While you're there, you can also subscribe to our platform of free e-newsletters. This is Andy Ober for Inside Indiana Business.